Welcome to the CTO to CTO podcast. Today in the Challenge Accepted episode of our podcast, we have John Surdakowski, the founder at AVEX and Shogun Investor. John has seen the beginnings of web development as he has over 20 years of experience from Web 1.0 and Flash animation to the explosion of mobile and then e-commerce. In 2015, John started growing his freelance business into a boutique digital agency with a focus on fashion, lifestyle, and premium products. AVEX has partnered with many major brands such as Hugo Boss, Rocawear, HBO, Sony Music, and many, many more. In 2019, AVEX was invited to become a Shopify Plus partner, becoming an agency specialized in helping brands navigate the e-commerce space. Tune in.
Hello, everyone. I'm super excited to host John Surdakowski from AVEX Designs. We're going to talk all things e-commerce. How did it change from the early 2000s to today? John is also an early investor at Shogun. So we probably gonna talk Shogun, Shopify, all the new things happening on the market as well. Hello, John. I'm happy to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here. I'm excited to talk about e-commerce, and maybe we'll even touch a little bit on some of those guitars you got back there. I'm sure we could relate on that a bit.
Absolutely. Let's start with your background and your early days of your career. You started in marketing, New York City, top agencies, BBDO, MRM. Do you remember your first project? How the early days look like?
Yeah, sure. Even going back before that, my first job out of school in design and kind of marketing was working in the Diamond District in New York City for a jewelry company, just really editing photos and doing some light graphic design for like their eBay store. And from there, I moved on to working at a hip hop record label, which was really cool. I got to work on like hip hop websites. Back then, Flash was really big. So Flash animation. And got to work on some hip hop websites, and I got really into like the New York City club scene. So that was a really in high demand as far as like graphic design for invites and animated emails and sending out Flash invites.
Yeah.
And kind of built my network of, club promoters and brand promoters. And that kind of led to working for a company called Strategic Group. And that was more into marketing. I met some people there and started to work for a small agency. Then I started to consult and freelance a bit for some of the larger kind of Madison Avenue giants, like you mentioned, MRM, McCann Erickson, BBDO. Yeah. Did a lot of design and Flash. After that, I really got bored and with Flash because it was kind of dying out. You know, iPhone just came out. Flash wasn't as big. So I taught myself more UX, UI, and taught myself how to do front-end development, WordPress development. I just started taking on freelance projects from there. And I just wanted to design websites, code websites, and blog about responsive design and best practices and semantic HTML and things like that. So that's what I did. I quit my job and I just started to work on like my own projects. And that snowballed from there. I started to get bigger brands. I started to hire some people, and that's what led to kind of the start of AVEX.
Gotcha. That's a good part of the history of e-commerce. Those years were super revolutionary, I would say. But let me ask you, like, when you were at the MRM, BBDO, was the e-commerce a thing? I mean, you mentioned that you were doing some, graphic designs for eBay shops they have. Okay, so yeah, marketplaces are always first to the market. E-commerce wasn't that popular. Were they just, the brands were thinking about starting e-commerce back in the day? Or when you saw, like, was this inflection point? You saw something like, whoa, e-commerce is a thing. I need to focus on that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was, iterations.
Yeah. So I've kind of seen it evolve over time. Like I remember when I was freelancing many years ago, like there was no Shopify. There was no platform that you could just spin up. It was like you had to do it, either build a platform from the ground up or what I remember doing is like we spun up like HTML pages with like PayPal buttons for like smaller brands who just wanted to sell online. So that was just like the way that it's evolved and grown is it's been tremendous over the past 15 plus years. But working at some of those larger agencies, e-commerce was not something that they were focusing on. I do feel like that was smaller like development shops and some shops that only focused on e-commerce because they saw the future. But these bigger marketing and advertising agencies, it was all like, you know, MasterCard and doing like banners and ads for them or copywriting for them, or it was like a pharmaceutical company. And, you know, the brands that were getting into e-commerce, I feel were, you know, those are just different engagements. And we didn't really even see it back then. When I kind of saw e-commerce getting bigger is we did a Magento build for a legacy brand called Pony Sneakers some years ago.
Okay.
Maybe that was like 2012 or 13 or something.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of sparked it for me. I was like, okay, well, this is where I want to be. And it did take a few years to really dive fully into e-commerce. We were kind of doing a mix of e-commerce and just like brochure websites. But once we started to get more and more into Shopify and building some of those stores is really where I started to see the value in e-commerce. Like you're not just building, like designing and building for a brand who doesn't, who's not generating revenue from their website, or it's more of just a brochure website. You can actually help these merchants scale their businesses. And you don't need to build things completely custom and bespoke from the ground up. So that's where we kind of saw that turning point, that value, and where we started to work with bigger projects and on bigger brands.
Gotcha, that makes perfect sense. Just one more question about the history, and we switch to nowadays. The marketing strategies, that's something I think also changed a lot. I will ask you about the technology landscape as well. You said that the Shopify was inflection point. I totally relate to that. I also feel like it was this point of time, it was probably 2010, 12, those years, you know, it changed a lot. Also in Magento, other platforms, like it was sparking new projects, like everyone felt that they need to be in e-commerce. But the marketing strategies they apply also change, right? I mean, I remember that in those years, there was a lot of tricks, tips, you know, SEO, SEM, optimization kind of things. Very often, very short-term tricks that, you know, give you some free traffic or cheaper traffic. Google is fighting with it constantly. Mm-hmm. Do you have an advice for a brand making this, you know, marketing strategy? Like, okay, if somebody today doesn't have e-commerce, it's probably strange. But if you're entering the market, maybe this situation, what would you advise to the guys? Because I feel that those old tricks no longer works, right?
Yeah. So I remember years ago, you were able to throw a bunch of keywords on a page and you could rank number one on Google. You could throw a bunch of ad dollars towards Google search placement, as well as Facebook and Instagram, and you could kill it. You could create a multi-million dollar store just by the right targeting. And in some way that still exists, like, especially with like social media marketing, but it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder, especially with iOS 14 and 15 updates, privacy and collecting data. Companies like Apple are seeing the future when it comes to privacy being extremely important to the customer. And less are brands going to be able to just like target somebody and then generate millions of revenue just from, you know, some well-placed ads. So For someone who's just entering the market now, look, you still need to focus on SEO as a long-term play. So not black hat SEO, not trying to like, you know, game the system. You need to just have good content and
good content. Yeah.
Yeah. Good content and follow best practices because, you know, you could get some, you know, long tail keywords that rank and that could be some revenue, but it should be a constant focus, but not a one trick solution there. Same thing with social media ads. Yeah. You still need to have good content, good copywriting, and good targeting for your social ads. And that should be a channel. But everyone needs to focus on this omni-channel approach or this omni-marketing channel approach where, yeah, you're focusing on SEO, you're focusing on social, but more importantly, you're building a community. And that's a long-term thing. So building a community, building a platform, being able to focus on brand and just optimizing every single touch point. So that could be customer experience, customer service, user experience, conversion rate optimization, SEO, paid social, paid search, all of those things. You have to take a holistic approach about it and just put out really great content and have an amazing product and really focus on the customer experience. And that's where you're going to grow. And it's going to take some time, but that's where you're going to see the biggest ROI.
Gotcha. That's fantastic advice. Thank you for that. I think we can switch like a few years, you know, later today. I would like to talk with you about the technology that the CTO to CTO name of the podcast, you know, requires us to cover tech.
Touch on the tech. Yeah, of course. Let's do it. Happy to talk about that.
Yeah, I would start with pretty like business question. Like that's something that always struck me. You have all those brands, right? NYC is the best place to have contact with, you know, top brands, retailers. When you start the project with you, John, how they choose the technology? Who's making the call? That's my first question. The other one is, what are the criteria? Because, you know, I'm asking because, you know, if you look at from the tech angle of it, you have huge brand, you know, doing billions in revenue. So we think like, okay, they need some serious tech, right? I don't know. They need, you know, maybe hybrids, whatever. Like, okay, hybrids maybe is not like top market right now, but it's a very serious platform and so on. But they're choosing Shopify. Mm-hmm. So as a tech person, you think, what the heck? Like, what's going on here, right? It makes no sense. So give us some explanation how it works. Like, how do you choose this tag? Who's making the call? You know, what are the criteria?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a few things to unpack there. I agree with you. New York is a great place to be when it comes to it, but it's a very tough market. And to be honest, a lot of the brands that we work with aren't even in New York. They're all over the country, all over the world, but they do have the same problems. They need a technology stack. So it really depends with the brands that we work with. So we work with a range of brands. We have some brands who are startup brands who are looking for a lot of advice, a lot of consulting to help make those decisions. We have some in the mid-range who made some of those decisions and they know what they need, but they might need some advice. And then there's the larger enterprise brands who maybe they have an existing tech stack and it needs to be more sophisticated, but they all have similar problems. Honestly, they want to make their technology stacks and their e-commerce a bit more simple. Now, not sophisticated, but you know, when we're thinking about like complex tech stacks, whether it's
a tool, right? It's in the end a tool, and they want to be probably first to the market, right?
Well, they want to be first to market. They also want to simplify it in a way. So a lot of the requests that we hear is that, look, we have a custom platform, or we have something that's headless or a form of headless, or maybe it's just a PWA, or maybe it's Magento, and even that is complex for them. And either they don't have an IT team, or maybe it's just so complex that they can't update content or they can't add SaaS products they want to. So I think a lot of the reasons why these brands are flocking towards Shopify and Shopify Plus is because it could be an all-in-one system for them. And even with a headless setup on Shopify, there's still all of these SaaS products that work with the platform, and they want to be able to get great content out there a lot easier. They want to be able to optimize their site for conversion. So they're looking for that return on investment. So sometimes a more minimalist approach to their technology stack is something that's going to fulfill that. It's going to make it easier for them to move faster. It's going to be easier for them to release new feature developments without having to worry about all these complex tech stacks. So I think simplicity is one of the major things.
So they are no longer stuck to the IT department with their own release cycle, bottlenecks, all the problems they usually have, because they can just experiment a lot, way more often, do changes into content and so on. I suppose that was one of the reasons you became the first business angel for Shagun, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say we were the first business angel, but we came in on one of their latest rounds, which was a much larger round. They've seen incredible growth. So one of the reasons why I invested with Shogun is, one, we worked with the platform, and it's a great platform. Shogun front end has a lot of potential for the future. It's still early, but headless is definitely something that is growing. Look at even Shopify's Unite updates. They're starting to focus more on headless.
And I have a few questions about it in a minute. Yeah.
Sure. But Shogun has proven for years with their Shogun page builder to kind of like say, okay, well, we know what Shopify and BigCommerce, Magento merchants may need to be able to simplify the content management system and expand on it. And they're applying that same logic and technology to Shogun front end for headless. So I see there's a huge opportunity, and a lot of brands are going towards that platform for a more kind of, I wouldn't say simple, but a more minimalistic approach to headless.
So that makes perfect sense. So what you are saying, like things like headless and other things are, you know, they probably are milestones, right? But they are on the way to solve bigger problem. Mm-hmm. And the bigger problem is to have architecture which lets your business force to do the changes as often as they wish, while having it still scalable and easy to maintain by the tech people. But for Shopify and Shagun, probably you don't need your own maintenance team, because it's just cloud.
Sometimes you do. It depends on the complexity of it. We have one merchant that's on Shogun, and content updates they can make, like being able to reorganize like content types, all of those things.
Yeah,
they could do that, but the technology is still pretty sophisticated, where they do need us to work on some feature updates and development. Gotcha. So, you know, the more features and functionalities that think like companies like Shogun or Shopify release, it does get simpler for some smaller merchants to be able to do things that they always wanted to do. But it also opens up a lot of opportunity for developers to do even more great things. So, you know, the more they open up, and the more that you start being able to leverage things like the storefront API and React and like all these new features that are coming out with Unite, the more complex things could get. And you're going to need agencies to be able to help with that, or at least Shopify experts to be able to help with that.
So how I read what you said is that there is still a lot of space for agencies, but maybe the focus is moved from, you know, keeping it just up and running, which was, you know, case for Magento, maybe other platforms. Like, you know, you spend 80% of your time keeping it up and running, because it always, you know, had some failures, some outages, scalability problems, all sorts of these things. And right now with the APIs, you can start, you know, build things, but there are features and there are, you know, business value. So that makes more sense from like business wise, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you're like, I'm breaking this out into a few different, or maybe even a couple different categories, like looking at like low code or no code, or, you know, being able to just spin up a Shopify theme, you know, the ones that are available. If you're a small store and you just want to start selling, you can do that really easy and start even putting some really robust functionality on your store. But on the other side, for the more complex things, whether it's building a React app into your store or using a Jamstack, PWA, headless, it's going to allow for even more complex things. So larger merchants are going to be able to leverage Shopify agencies who have that experience to be able to deploy that functionality and be able to work on those things. So I think it's both opened up a lot of opportunities for some of more of that advanced development. And it also is now putting some of that power in the merchant's hands, because maybe they would have hired a freelance developer or a Shopify agency, but they could do it themselves. So I think the ones in the middle that, you know, are maybe just focusing on theme setups, that might not be as much as popular as it was, because merchants could do some of those themselves now, especially with, like, you know, sections everywhere, or, you know, the theme store 2.0, being able to use some of the themes out of the box. I think that's going to help them, but they're still going to need Shopify people who have a deep understanding of Shopify to do more of that complex functionality.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. Let's talk a little bit about the Shopify Unite. Last week, the event was really hard. Like, I heard so many announcements that, you know, it's even hard to list them out of memory, all of them. Two were super exciting for me. Like, the first one was this hydrogen front, and the second one was the, actually it's something pretty technical, but I first heard of, like, how they let the developers to do the backend stuff. I mean, by WebAssembly. It is, you know, for me, it's first time I saw real use case for WebAssembly, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, having Quake in the browser or a DOS, JS, this kind of proof of concept is cool, but it's not a business value. And they show this business value. So that was fantastic. And I'm wondering what was the announcement that excited you most?
There's so many. And, you know, I wouldn't say one of them excited me the most, but it's like a culmination of things. So I think Shopify made a conscious effort to be able to, instead of making Unite about, you know, the shareholders and about how many new merchants they have, or about the growth of Shopify Plus, or money and, like, you know, their idea for the future of like the growth of the business, they really got back to their roots of developers. Like,
it was for developers, 100%.
Yes, 100%, yeah. which is 100%. A breath of fresh air. And I don't think, like, the stock market and investors really understood that, like, look, they're really trying to focus on the developers, because the developers are the one who are going to innovate. And they're going to be able to use things like hydrogen, and being able to use things like opening up the backend more, focusing on the storefront API. And they're going to be able to be the ones that, and also the removing the app store fees for developers. I think that was
brave. Yeah.
Great for developers, but people aren't even understanding what the byproduct of that is going to be, because now that you have 100% of that revenue going towards the developer, there's going to be more developers who are amazing developers who are coming to the platform to create great things. So that's going to attract bigger merchants. That's going to increase those merchants' revenue and their sales, which are going to increase Shopify's revenue. And it's going to bring innovation. And one of the things Shopify does is similar to Apple, is that when developers are creating really great products and really great apps, I wouldn't say they steal them, but they end up making them part of the core functionality, you know? So, like, that's something that's going to almost be like free R&D for Shopify. So there's a lot of potential there. So opening that up and allowing, and even something that was announced before Unite, being able to edit the robot.txt was something that developers have been wanting to do for years. And now we can do that. So even little things like that, it just shows how much respect they have for developers. So now, a lot of these things, to be able to, you know, code these apps or be able to install this functionality and host it with Shopify, it's becoming a more sophisticated platform if you want it to be. But if you want it to be as simple as getting a theme and using the 2.0 functionality, as far as like sections everywhere and having more robust CMS, you could be a merchant that's just growing your store with just that. So they're focusing on both sides, making commerce easier for everyone, but also focusing on some important things that developers want to do. So it's, you know, spanning that whole spectrum of, you know, of what Shopify has always been about. Not overcomplicating things, but making sure that you can do complex things if you want to. So those are the most exciting things for me. I wouldn't say it's like one piece of functionality or feature that they released, but it's more so how they approach the whole Unite was something that I was really happy about.
Absolutely. Like, they put developers first, and we saw many, you know, successful cases of this approach, like including Microsoft, Google, Facebook, other platforms. All of them were built this way, like Amazon with Amazon Web Services. So maybe not directly like this model, but around the core product. But Shopify is strong because of the marketplace. I think that this is the best value they provide. Other than that, you know, marketplace is super unique and the scale of it. And you compare the platform itself, you have, you know, different products, big commerce, others, and having more or less the same feature set at the core, right, is more or less the same thing. But the model is unique, the marketplace is unique, and they set between the lines something like, this is our core model. Developers are our top priority because marketplace is our core model. So I really like this approach, and it will be, you know, successful 100%. But you also said something that worried me a little bit. I mean, okay, it's not worried me, but it's how things are. I mean, when you have platform like Apple or Shopify, you always have this you know, temptation to take some apps that are on this marketplace, put it into the core, right? It's happening all the time. The stupid example of to-do list for iPhone, right? Or maybe Notes application. And the core Notes at the iPhone right now was like Evernote was probably in 3 years. Like it has all the features, right? So they are, quote, stealing, unquote, the features all the time. And this is normal. So what worries me is how you see Shagun in this and the other tools. You know, the products are super successful, but the growth was mostly from Shopify. As I told with Finbar, the best channel they had was Shopify, still is. So do you think that they need to go outside of this, you know, marketplace, attack other platforms? Is Hydrogen a threat for Shagun, for example? How do you see it?
So I remember when they announced Sections Everywhere a couple years ago, which they're just rolling out now. And that was definitely a threat to Shagun in a way. But now, you know, we start to see it. And I still think, you know, Shagun Page Builder has a place in the market, because there's interesting things that you can do with that you can't do with Sections Everywhere. And I think that, you know, of course, some merchants who would have went with Shagun Page Builder may choose not to in the future if Sections Everywhere or the, you know, the 2.0 CMS functionality is something that meets their needs. But I still think there's going to be a need for it. With Shagun front end, I do think that Shopify is going to continue to lean on headless or lean towards headless as the future. But I also don't think that they necessarily want merchants to be like 100% headless. So keeping them on the platform and being able to build some sort of headless in a more simple way is going to attract some merchants to take that approach. However, merchants want options, and sometimes Shagun front end is going to fulfill that, whether it's, you know, having the drag and drop functionality, some of the things on that on the platform, or things that especially like the integrations, like when you're talking about headless integrations, like that's something that Shogun's focusing on as well, is building out all of those integrations. So I do think that the way I would compare it is that, like, I'm an Evernote user. I don't care that Apple release more functionality for their notepad. That's more of a power user. Like, same thing with Todoist. Like, I use Todoist as well, as opposed to the Reminders app. And sometimes I'll go back and forth. And there are some benefits to that. But I think Shopify is going to take that approach too, where they're going to build in some of this functionality into the core, but there's still going to be certain things that others do better. Like, email, they started to do email marketing a bit into the core platform. They'll never be able to compete with Klaviyo. Klaviyo has a far more robust platform. Same thing with reviews. Like, Shopify has reviews built in their platform, but, you know, Okendo and Yotpo and some of the others are far more robust. So I do think that being able to utilize some of this new functionality, it may take away, may keep some merchants just on Shopify without using some of those SaaS products, but there's still going to be some users who see more benefit in using some of those products like Shogun or some of the others that I mentioned. So I think it's something that we're going to see how it plays out. But you know, it's going to just spark more innovation. So some of those new things that Shopify rolled out, I think it's going to allow both merchants, agencies, developers to just innovate a lot more.
Gotcha. Perfect. Okay, John, I don't have more questions. So thank you a lot for our conversations. And guys, if you have any questions, put them into the comments and we'll try to answer. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the CTO to CTO podcast. Make sure you subscribe us on all of your favorite platforms and see you next week.